Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years before Peter, James, and John went up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, another man went up a different mountain to meet with God. That man received God's law carved on stone tablets, saw the glory of the Lord, even if only after he had passed by. And then when that man, Moses, came down the mountain, the Israelites saw him and they were terrified of him. Even his brother Aaron would not go near him because his face was still reflecting the majesty of God that had been revealed to him. Now it is Peter, James, and John that watched as Jesus was metamorphothed, that is, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as pure light. On that sacred mountain, Jesus' divinity showed through his humanity, and the disciples were permitted to see the glory of the Lord of heaven and earth in human flesh and blood. But even after seeing this, they struggled to understand the full meaning of God's incarnation. After Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, Peter would say of this event, as you heard in the epistle lesson, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven." Both at the baptism of Jesus and at his transfiguration, the Father in heaven speaks out of a cloud and says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Not look him in the face. Not be amazed by his glory. Listen to him. It's no coincidence, then, that the baptism of Jesus and his transfiguration bookend this season of Epiphany. For in these events, the child conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary is revealed as the Son of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. These events are clearly and carefully recorded by the Holy Spirit for us to hear. For our benefit. During this season, the glory of the Lord has been revealed to you in Jesus' words and in his deeds. But so what? Every Sunday you hear about the great things your God has done for his people throughout history. But when you walk out those doors and go back to the same far from perfect marriage, to children who make bad decisions, who won't listen, to the same frustrations at work, the same worries about the bills, about your health, about all the uncertainties that tomorrow holds, you go back to the same sins that you thought you had conquered. Where is the glory of the Lord in all of this? The devil continues to accuse and condemn you. The world still tempts you to do what feels good and to satisfy the desires of your sinful flesh, and your sinful flesh is all too willing to accommodate. What happened to the wonderful life that God promised us in his gospel? Where is his glory? My problems aren't going away. Things around me aren't getting any better. In fact, everything seems to be getting worse. What can Jesus' transfiguration possibly have to do with me? You aren't the only one who has ever thought that way or asked that question. The disciples' lives had been turned upside down ever since this traveling teacher had called them to follow him. Because of him, they lived from meal to meal, owned very little, and they were always being run out of towns and cities. Many hated them. When these three disciples see Jesus' glory on that sacred mountain, they don't want to leave. They wanted to build shelters and stay there forever. And who can blame them? They had seen and experienced and lived life down here on the plain. They'd been rejected and persecuted. They've seen the depravity and wickedness of man. They know their own sinful condition. But this, the glory of the Lord, the radiance of Jesus' face and clothing, the living patriarchs, Moses and Elijah, the dense cloud, the voice from heaven, this is something new, something entirely different, something life-changing and holy beyond what they could ever have imagined. And in their awe and confusion and weakness, they forgot about everything else, about their friends still on the plain, about all those towns and cities in which they had been with Jesus while he healed and forgave sins and preached good news to needy people. They couldn't think of anything other than staying in that glory forever. Even thinking they could build shelters for glorified men who had no need of them. Those disciples no longer wanted anything to do with suffering, persecution, and the death that they had experienced while they had been with Jesus. Isn't it ironic, then, that the very topic of Jesus' mountaintop conversation with Moses and Elijah was about his life down here on the plain, about his upcoming suffering, his approaching exodus, Luke tells us, his departure. He was literally talking with them about his crucifixion and death. Unlike the disciples, he wasn't thinking about himself or about his own glory that he had given up or the glory that he would have again that awaited him. He was only thinking about those in bondage to sin and death that he came to save and to set free. They saw his glory, and then they thought of themselves. He knows his own glory, but he was only thinking about them, about you, about the future glory that he has promised you. So he again covered up his true majesty and humbled himself to go down to Jerusalem and die. We are often weak and without understanding, just as Peter, James, and John. We want to know and experience and see the glory of the Lord and all that he has promised us in his Father's kingdom. We want to see it in our lives now. But we don't like the prospect of struggle and suffering that awaits us out there, that attacks us from right within our own hearts. We don't want anything to do with bearing the cross or suffering for righteousness' sake. And so we forget about all those that we have been called to serve in our God-given vocations. We don't speak up when we know we should. We're afraid to offend, afraid to be hated by the world, rejected by our own friends. And we think only of our own comfort and what is best for us. How often do we seek our own glory and honor rather than giving glory to and boasting in Jesus Christ alone? Glorification doesn't come before struggle. Struggle, humiliation come before glorification. Death comes before life. Death before resurrection from the dead. Don't misunderstand here. You can't work for your salvation. That's already been accomplished and not by you. You can't earn forgiveness, for it's already been freely given. You can't separate yourself from your sinful, vain, glory-seeking flesh either. But Christ has redeemed your flesh, and he has washed you in the waters of holy baptism and made you clean. He has set you free from all of these struggles. Set you free to listen to him, to hear what he has done, and to believe and to share. That's what Jesus' incarnation is about. That's why Jesus came into his creation and took on human flesh and then your sins, to die for you, to give you his life, to set you free. Moses was led to understand that he wasn't called by God for his own honor and glory, but to give up his life in service for God's people. And he did. He led them through the desert, but like them, he traveled the wilderness of sin, and he didn't always trust God's plan or listen to God's commands, and he died before he entered the promised land. Yet he was forgiven. God himself buried him on the mountain, and now we see him appearing in glory with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not dead, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. On the way down that mountain, the disciples also learned that their glory would come after their calling was complete, not before. They were instructed not even to tell anyone of this event until after Jesus had been raised from the dead. They learned a hard lesson, that their neighbor was more important than their feelings and emotions, than their mountaintop experience, and even than their very lives. As Jesus would sacrifice himself to save them, so would their whole lives be in service to God's word and to their neighbors. Jesus' transfiguration teaches you, reveals to you who Jesus really is. The Father's words from the cloud teach you to listen to his Son, to believe that in him your sins are forgiven. The Father's living word is powerful. He does what he says. He creates life, forgives sins, gives freedom, hope, and joy. But oh, if we could only see like they saw. If only we could have a foretaste of the glory that is to come like they did, then we could truly believe. Then we could fight the good fight of the faith. We could handle all those simple struggles. We could be a better husband, father, wife, mother, child, friend, church member. We can even be better citizens. If only we could see what they saw. We could do and say what we know we should, even if we're hated, all because we could see the glory that awaits us. But can you see that this desire is also a lie of the devil? A bit of his bait by which he hopes to trap you in seeking after signs of wanting to see with your eyes what God promises that we receive only by faith. You see, Peter says of this glorious mountaintop experience where he left off from before, "We heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. But we have something more certain." The prophetic word, to which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. He didn't trust what he saw with his eyes, at least not for long. He actually listened to what the Father said from the cloud. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." We have something more sure than what we see with our eyes, even than what Peter, James, and John saw with their eyes. That something is the prophetic word. The very word that you and I have access to. What God promises, he has always done, and he will continue to do. Only will you believe in him? Will you believe what you hear? Or will you always seek to see with your eyes, to have your emotions tweaked, to hear what itching ears want to hear, rather than what God says? The very same majesty that was present on that mountain, present in the Old Testament in the tabernacle through the cloud and the fire, the very same Lord is present in the veiled and simple means of God's word preached and connected to water and bread and wine on this very day. In these things you have heard, and if you believe what Jesus says, you can even begin to glimpse his glory. These simple things don't look like anything spectacular to the world, but neither did Jesus look like anything other than an ordinary man. Still, he was more than met the eye, wasn't he? And so are his gifts. You don't need signs and wonders to see. You have ears to hear God's holy word, his word which is a lamp shining in the darkness, a light for your path, a word by which you live. Yes, the devil too promises light and understanding. He promises that you can be like God, that you can have glory now in this life. But he is a liar from the beginning. His promises are always empty. He can't give life or true light. He brings only darkness and eternal death. But again, today, in the Lord's sacrament, your Father reveals the glory of heaven, and he does give you a foretaste of the feast to come. Though it still be hidden under Jesus' body and blood and bread and wine. And as you receive these his gifts in faith, as you are nourished by Jesus himself, you become a living testament, a reflection of his life and glory to everyone that you meet. Your face doesn't glow like Moses's, doesn't shine like Jesus in radiance, but still you reflect his glory. You become like little Christ to the world, proclaiming the one you believe in, who died and rose for the sins of the whole world. This reflection of God's glory certainly won't make the devil stop attacking you. In fact, it will make him even more angry and draw more attention to you. This won't make the problems of this world go away. The problems will continue, and they will get worse before the end comes. Your sinful flesh will still accommodate and justify your selfish, evil desires. But you, this day, be at peace. Jesus Christ has come into his creation, taken on your flesh and blood, went to war against the devil, and he beat him. He conquered the devil. He's in control of the world. And he has forgiven your sins. He didn't forsake his vocation for the glory that awaited him. He went down that mountain and then stood up like a man and gave his life for the life of the world. Greater love has no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. Have no fear, saints of Christ. Today your Lord has again blessed you and promised to keep you safe. He has made his face shine upon you, not in wrath, but in the warm rays of his love and joy. He has been gracious to you in sending his only begotten Son to find you and to be your Savior. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.